to Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. Amen. Thank you for honoring the word of the Lord. 12 and 16 says, "And he spake," this is talking about Jesus, "and he spake a parable unto them," a story unto them, "saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." In other words, he was farming and he got a good crop. "And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I'm out of room. And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul," and this here in verse 19 is what got him in trouble. He said, "And then when I've done all that, I'm going to kick back and say to my soul, soul, thou hast laid up, or thou hast much goods laid up for many years. You've got it made, nothing to worry about. So kick back, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided?" And then Jesus said, "So, or just like this man, is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I just want to, if I were to title this, I would say, when bigger barns aren't enough. When bigger barns aren't enough. Would you help me pray? God, would you lead us and guide us in these few moments that we are hearing your word tonight? I pray that you will speak to our hearts, that you will deal with us and help us to grow in it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we give you all the praise and honor and glory. You may be seated. In Matthew chapter 6 and 19, we see words of Jesus. This setting that we just read is a parable. It's a story. It's, just like if we were to tell a little story that would help us understand something in life. That's the same thing that happens here. Jesus is telling a story to trigger our minds and get us to thinking about principles of life. And in Luke 12 and 30, or in Matthew 6 and 19, Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Anybody ever have anything that you own that you take care of? And when you go to Walmart, you lock your doors in your car and you don't want anybody to break in and steal what you got? Anybody ever had that? Well, that's what he's saying here. He's saying treasures upon the earth. There's moths that can get to it. You see, in the old days, in these Bible times, they did not have plastic containers. They did not have the same abundance, if you will, of steel containers that we have. They didn't just run down to Walmart and go spend $40 and have a little square safe with a combination on it, and you could tuck some stuff down in there. They used a lot of leather. They used a lot of material things. A lot of the storage options that they had were options that were vulnerable to weather, to moisture, to pests that might chew through it, and so forth. I remember there was a time many, many years ago that our family rented a storage unit in Bakersfield when we were down there. We lived down there, and we had a large storage unit that we had shelves in there, and we had a lot of cardboard boxes with a lot of, you know, possessions, pictures, and just stuff like you and I would keep, extra stuff. And some of it was very valuable, extra clothes and stuff. Some of it was very valuable, and some of it wasn't that valuable. But we had this large storage unit, and I remember we hadn't been there for a long time. But right next door to the storage units that were all lined up, There was two units right next to us, if I remember right. I think there were two units, two very large units, and those units were rented by recyclers, those who take the cans and bottles and so forth. And what they would do is they would take these big bags when you and I go down and we recycle our bottles and cans, and they give us money for them. They throw them in big bags. They would take these bags or just throw them in the back, and then they would go and they would just basically throw all these cans and bottles in this unit, starting at the back, and it would just fill up a mountain of cans and bottles all the way out. Well, what we didn't realize, because we had not been to that unit, opened that door in a long time, is that those cans and bottles still had a little bit of good stuff in them, a little bit of soda pop and maybe a little bit of that, you know, a little bit of alcohol in it and different things. And the rats in the area, in the fields around, discovered those units, and the rats began to go in there and get drunk and have a good time and so forth. Well, those units, the way they were constructed, is there's troughs that go all the way down, and so if you were a rat, you could get from their unit to our unit quite easily. And these were not mice. These were not small little mice. These were very large rats. And I remember I saw it on one occasion when we started dealing with something. We rolled up the door, but my family saw it and opened up the door, and three or four rats went running all away, hiding. Well, how many more were they that we didn't see? But they just went to scattering, big as cats almost. And you looked at these rats, and when we looked in there, everything just about in that unit was just a mess. They had chewed through the cardboard everywhere. They had found some plant material, and they had just got in there and made a mess of it. And of course, they did not excuse themselves and go down to another unit to use the restroom. So the rats had just basically lived in our unit, and it was a mess. The odors and the stench and the soiled cardboard and the soiled items that were ruined and the furniture. There was furniture in there that was just ruined. It was just, oh, what a mess it was. And I thought about that whenever I was thinking about what Jesus was saying. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. What about rats get to them? What about rodents? There are things the moths could eat through those old leather bags. Don't lay up for yourself treasures here that stuff can get to and thieves can break through and steal. But instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Now, when I was a little boy, I remember on one occasion my mom started a little savings account for us, and in those days you didn't have computers and stuff, and so we went down to, if I remember right, it was the California Republic Bank, I think, that we went down to. They're on Oak Street, I think it was California Republic. Took us in there, and we went, and we opened up a little savings account, and then they gave us a little booklet, and when we put $5 in there, then you wrote $5, and then it was up to us as we earned, you know, quarters and pennies and dimes and nickels, save it up, and we'd turn in the old pop bottles. Anybody remember turning in pop bottles for 10 cents a piece? We'd go turn in our pop bottles, and my mom would let us have the money, and we'd put that in, and we'd go make a deposit into the bank, and I'd add it into the little book there, and I can remember as a young boy, I was fairly young, but I do remember this. I remember we would go to the bank, and I would have money. It might only be $5, but my mom would be going to the bank for something, and she'd say, okay, kids, let's go make a deposit. So we'd gather our money, and I'd be carrying my money, and it's there. It's with me, and I can see it. There's the dollar bills, and I have it, and we'd go to the bank, and then I would deposit it. My mom would say, okay, give them the money. And as a little kid, you don't understand this concept, but you give them the money. And the only thing they would give me back is they had those old rubber stamps where they'd put the date, you know, turn it to the right date. And they would stamp the pad in the little square. They would stamp my little book and write in there that I had deposited $500. And when I left the bank, all I had to show for how much money that I had, or my treasure, if you will, was a little bank book. And I remember as a kid, I didn't like that arrangement very well. I wanted to see the money, touch the money, feel the money. I wanted to be have access to the money to where if the ice cream man came running by, I could run out and get an ice cream. I just wanted access. And having it somewhere else deposited in a place that I couldn't see was difficult for me as a young person. Can I say that you and I sometimes, we have a real hard time depositing things into the bank of heaven. We have a hard time depositing treasures, if you will, and investing in heaven. It's a whole lot easier to invest in things that we see, things we can enjoy now, things that we can touch. People are things that we can enjoy, things that maybe perhaps we shouldn't have. It's a lot easier to do that. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I do believe that it is not a sin to have a nice car. If you've always dreamed of having a Corvette and God blesses you with money to get a Corvette, I don't in and of itself, I don't believe that's a sin. I really don't. But I do believe that if that fancy Corvette comes between us and God, then it becomes a sin. It becomes idolatry, or it becomes a stumbling block, etc. And so I think that it's not a sin to have nice things, but Jesus is saying, where is your treasure? If you have nice things, that's wonderful. But if we have nice things and we don't have a treasure laid up in heaven, we don't have a treasure. Because on this earth, it's vulnerable. And the Bible even talks about in the last days, in the end times, that all of the things of this earth are going to melt with fervent heat. It's all going to burn up, but the things that are in heaven will not. Matthew 6 and 33. So Jesus is nailing this down, saying, you know, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lay up treasures in heaven, not on the earth, and so forth. And let me go back to, did I say Luke 12? Let me go to Luke 12, 33. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Now, this is the ESV. I'm sorry, I didn't clarify that. This is the ESV. He says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. It's essentially another eyewitness account of what we read in Matthew. And when you think about it this way, provide with money bags that do not grow old, a treasure that does not fail. Now, Jesus told the rich young ruler, Bible did not call him a rich young ruler, but he tells us in one place that he had many possessions. We know that. It also talks about him being young in one place. It talks about him being a ruler. So we put all this together and we call him the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus. What can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, the commandments. He said, oh yeah, I've done the commandments. In fact, I've got that down pat. I know church inside out. I know the Bible inside out. I got it down pat. I've done it from my youth. Is there anything else I need to do? And Jesus looked at him. The Bible says he loved him with compassion. But Jesus looked at him and he said, you're only missing one thing. Sell everything you got. Give to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, and the Bible says he left sorrowful because he was very rich and that was too big of a sacrifice. He wasn't willing to do that. So he turned away from Jesus, walked away from the Messiah, and he did not do what would have given him the keys to eternal life. But Jesus didn't tell everybody to do that. Jesus didn't tell everybody to go sell everything you have. And no, Jesus didn't tell it. Didn't tell all of us. But there might be one of us that has something or someone or some things or whatever that is a problem, that is a trip. It's a trip up to our spiritual nature, and it can keep us from making it to heaven. So he might convict us and say, you know what? You need to get rid of that red Corvette. Oh, Lord, not my red Corvette. I love it. It means everything to me. And he's saying, that's the point. You need to give up your red Corvette. But you didn't make that other brother down the road have to give up the red Corvette. That's not fair. That other brother if his Corvette disappears, he enjoys it, but it's not an idol to him. You see, Jesus is saying to pay attention to where your treasures are. I have met people before, it boggles my mind, but I have met people that they are so wealthy and they have so much money that they've got an amazing big home here. You can fit four of our homes in, and yet it's not a big deal to them. And they got a beach house and a cabin and a big yacht. They got all this stuff, but those things really don't mean that much to them. They have them and they enjoy them, but they have certain values in life that mean more to them. And I tell myself, that's pretty rough. That's pretty rough to think that you've got all those wonderful things and they don't mean that much, because that's how we think. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and 19. There was a certain rich man, while we're starting there, I'm just going to say Jesus did say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Luke 16 and 19. There was a certain rich man. As I hasten, I'll be done in just a few moments. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. Those were elements of wealth in that day, and fared or did live very sumptuously or prosperously every day. He had it made. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. He was a poor beggar and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. He's not asking for half of his steak. He's not asking for, you know, money. He just wanted the crumbs because he was so hungry. The Bible says, in addition to that, the dogs came and licked Lazarus's sores while he's laying out at the gate. And it came to pass, the beggar died. Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's a type of peace, a type of rest. The rich man also died and was buried. Now notice here, angels carried the beggar to Abraham's bosom, but the rich man was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, the rich man did, and saw Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. What? You didn't have anything to do with him. You didn't even acknowledge that he existed. And now you're calling him by name and saying to send him. What do you want with Lazarus? He's just a poor beggar full of sores and disgusting. And you didn't, I mean, you had time to, yeah, you hoped he wasn't laying across the gate, because then you have to step over him. You were disgusted with him. Father Abraham, would you send Lazarus that he may dip just the tip of his finger, that old finger full of sores? Would you just, I want him to dip the tip of his finger in water and just touch my tongue just to cool it for a second, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, I want you to remember that in your lifetime, you had all the good things. You had your treasures on earth. But Lazarus had evil things or unpleasant things or hurtful, painful things. That was his lot in life. But now, because he had treasures in heaven, now he is comforted and you are tormented. And he said, besides that, there's a big gap, a big gulf between us, so that those who would want to come from here to you cannot, and those that would want to come from you over here can't do it. You know, and the rich man went on to say a few more things, tried to convince Abraham that, well, at least, you know, send preachers. And he basically says, hey, they've got preaching. They've got all that they need to listen. And that's how it is for you and I as I close. You and I have everything that we need to make it spiritually. Now, that doesn't mean we know it all. That doesn't mean that we've arrived and we can kick back, just like we opened up with the man who said, I've got it made. I can kick back, kick my feet up, take my ease and eat, drink, and be merry, because I don't need anything and I'm all set for many years. And the Lord said, tonight, your number's getting called and you're going to go to the grave tonight. So now who's going to get all your stuff? Because you didn't pay attention to the treasures in heaven. You are only concerned with the treasures on earth. And that's when Jesus goes into these other settings. And we look at that. We look at the rich man and Lazarus. What was the difference? The rich man, no doubt, businessman, great business, making tons of money. He had no time to deal with people that didn't have anything. He had no time to deal with listening to preaching and I'm putting it in today's words. He didn't have time to listen to preaching, to read the Bible, to pray, to figure out what it takes to lay up treasures in heaven. So when it came to his deposits in heaven, they didn't exist. He didn't even have a savings account in heaven. But he had plenty on the earth. Well, when all that went away, because when his number was called and he died, it was all gone. Now, Lazarus, who had nothing on earth, had a savings account in heaven, and now he's got it made. You say, well, I wonder which one's more important. Well, all we can say is this. If we lived to be 80 years old, just picking a number, if we lived to be 80 years old, and that's on borrowed time, Bible talks about that being more than we're promised for sure. But if we lived to be 80 years old and we accumulated so many things on this earth, and when we left here we had money galore and the best vehicles and toys and houses and everything and friends and popularity and political fame and fortune, all this stuff, if we had all of these treasures on earth, but we don't have anything deposited in heaven. 80 years on earth, eternity never ends. What's the comparison? Wouldn't it be better if we do whatever we have to do to make sure that we're not depositing more into earthly treasures than we are into heavenly treasures? Because one of these days, the scales are going to tip. And once the scales tip, you know, it's like a teeter-totter. You go to the park and you got a real big kid on one, standing over on one end of the teeter-totter, and you got a little tiny kid on the other side of the teeter-totter. Well, the little tiny kid can get on the teeter-totter, and it goes down in their favor. But when the bigger kid gets on the other side, the teeter-totter goes up, and there's no way that little kid's ever going to get it to go back down as long as the big kid's on the other side. Well, can I say that one of these days, right now, we're the big kid on the teeter-totter in life, and everything we have, really, we're in control. But one of these days, there's going to be a large weight of eternity that's going to get on the other side of the scales, and we're going to be out of control. And it's only going to matter what we have deposited in heaven as we all stand. It's not just important, but it's a matter of life and death. Rich young ruler, Jesus looks at him. I know you did all the right things in the Bible, following what you do in the Bible, but you're missing one thing. You got treasures on earth that are weightier than any treasures in heaven. So get rid of all that. Just get rid of it and deposit into heaven. Jesus said, if your eye offends you, in other words, what that means is if your eye is a problem, you're seeing things that's tripping you up and causing you to miss out on heaven, it'd be better to pluck your eye out and go into heaven blind, so to speak, than it would be to go with two eyes that are perfectly good into hell. He said the same thing with your hand. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Get rid of your hand. If your hand is going to keep you out of heaven, cut it off. You'd be better to go maimed out of this life than to go to hell with two good hands. Same thing we could say on feet, and it's the same thing we could say on our earthly possessions or the things that we are pursuing. We got to eat, got to live. It's what it is. And I believe that God, you know, it's not a sin to have nice things, but I believe that if we're making more deposits into the bank of this life and not into the bank of the hereafter, when we get to the hereafter, we're going to be bankrupt. And nothing that we have. don't know how you feel about it, but I think I'm just going to start a new thing. I'm going to start saying, Lord, is there anything in my life that you want me to get rid of? Do I own anything? Or is there anything that, that really I place a lot of value on that you're not pleased with? If so, would you just tell me? Would you show me? Would you take it away from me? Whatever you have to do, because I can't afford to miss out on heaven. I can't afford to miss out. Amen. I can't afford to miss out. Make me what I ought to be, Lord. Help me to be more like thee. Help me climb up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Make me what I ought to be, Lord. Help me to be more like thee. Help me climb up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be.